550, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Do want to let you know that we are going to join Governor Walz's press conference live right now, since we are expecting a couple of big announcements. Let's see, Eric, you're giving me the nod in there.
I'm giving you the shake.
They're
not currently
they're
in
not
the
currently.
Press conference
I
yet.
Would try the Star Tribune feed. I have it on silent on my phone, and it looks like they are going through. So let's see if we can join that one. Or if it is maybe a delayed one.
So, I'm seeing it on here.
Yeah, let's go ahead and pod that up. The reason why is that we are potentially expecting a shelter-in-place order. It's been a rumor that's been circulating from some other media outlets. So, yeah, let's see if we can join that one in progress now.
Minnesotans could be killed by this. Of course, that would be impact those with compromised immune system, the elderly. But at this point in time, we're starting to see new research that shows that all age groups. Here in Minnesota, our cases range from 6 months to 94 years. At this point in time, because of the incredible work and because of the care we're getting, we only have one death. We do have 12 people in ICU. That's up from 7 yesterday. That is a critical number. The objective of everything we're doing here is it's too late to flatten the curve, as we talked about. The testing regimen was not in place soon enough for us to be able to do that or expand it enough. So what our objective is now is to move the infection rate out, slow it down, and buy time so that the resources of the ICU and the hospitals and the things that we're going to talk about today can be stood up to address that. Because if you get sick and if you need hospitalization and if you need an ICU, and if that ICU is available with a ventilator and all of the things you need, you have a 10 times greater chance of surviving this. If we get to a situation, which we've seen in certain parts of the world, and the place we cannot get to is when someone can't get that ICU care, we see the death rate skyrocket. So here in Minnesota, our attempt is to move the infection rates out, buy us time to have a surge of ICU units, and then move to the testing phase so when the second wave of this comes through, we can flatten the curve and we can keep it under the numbers that we need. So in the first scenario they ran, no mitigation. We did not do that, and I'll explain that. We took significant mitigation, and I will comment on that. Minnesota seems to be doing this better than any other state, and we're able to see that through cell phone data, through travel patterns, and, of course, anecdotally, we're seeing it. Most people are staying home when they can, social distancing and making a difference. Had we not done that, this model started last Sunday night because it took us about 4 days of round-the-clock work starting last Tuesday as we thought about what does it mean to ask more people to stay at home, or you're hearing about shelter-in-place. Just to be clear, a shelter-in-place simply moves the date out. It doesn't do anything in terms of reducing the infection rates unless we have either a vaccine or therapeutics or increased ICU capacity. You're still going to get the same results just at a later time. So what happens with this scenario you're seeing here? Had we not done anything, 9 weeks from last Sunday night, we would have reached peak epidemic. And I'll show you exactly what that means in numbers. But the terrifying part and the thing we cannot allow to happen is we would have reached peak ICU capacity in 6 weeks. And that 235 beds, that's not a misprint. That's what's available today. And that's what's really pressing on us to have to change. And I'll show you the plan. And there is a plan with a back plan timeline to let us get there. What would have happened then at 6 weeks, that time from 6 weeks to 9 weeks is exactly what's happening in Italy, where you see the numbers jump from 10 to 50 to 500 a day dying because there is no ICU capacity and the numbers are still going up. That's what we need to avoid. That's the mitigation. On the chart you're seeing here on the left, you're seeing the outcomes and the number of hospitalized. The numbers would go to about 60,000, and that would have hit, as you saw in the first one, at about day 63. We would have seen ICU capacity spike to nearly 6,000. I go back and show you again. 6,000 people would have needed ICU, knowing that if they didn't get it, there was a 10 times greater chance that they would die. We have 235 available. So by the end of April, with no mitigation and the situation we're in, we would have seen thousands not getting the care, and that's where the numbers would go up. The peak infection rate you're seeing on the right side with the blue line would see about 2.4 million Minnesotans infected. And as I said earlier, 85% of them would require no hospitalization, would recover, and that will start to build the natural immunity, because this will come. Most of us, as I've said before, in the absence of a vaccine, most of us will experience this over the course of this, the next year to 18 months. The hope is, because of the slow mutation rates we're seeing in this, that maybe a vaccine will be moved up. We can't count on that. We have to count on the mitigation of moving the lines further out, upping the ICU beds, and then testing, so to make sure when it comes back again, we're prepared to isolate the most vulnerable folks. Scenario two. Scenario two is changing person-to-person contact. And what we're going to ask for is, and so you get a chance to see this, you could go and you could ask for shelter in place. And I think to dispel what a myth is, if we did that, and we have already reduced contact by about 50% in Minnesota, you have bought us valuable time by doing that. So the 9-week number that you saw to peak has already been moved out by the 50%. If we went to a more stringent, which we will do for a short time, and it's what I'm issuing today, it will buy us a little more time. If I put on shelter in place indefinitely, what that would do would buy more time, but it would not reduce the infection rates that would eventually be coming. It would not, the minute that we came off of that, barring a vaccine, numbers would shoot back up and ICU use would be overrun. So the attempt here is to strike a proper balance of making sure that our economy can function, we protect the most vulnerable, we slow the rate to buy us time and build out our capacity to deal with this. So significant mitigation that we're going to do for 2 weeks will reduce us from, we'll move us up from 50% interaction, stopping social interactions, to 80% stopping of that. We'll follow up by physical distancing, which we've already done, which is reducing it by 50%, followed by a physical distancing for the vulnerable. What this time we're buying will allow us to do, in addition to the upping the ICUs, to standing up mobile hospitals, to providing more ventilators, more personal protective equipment, and more testing, will also allow us to identify people who should be sheltered at home for a longer period of time. And I think, as many of you have said, and it's intuitive to say so, if we've already had it and we're not at risk, why are we not allowed to go about our daily work? One of the things is, if still trying to understand the susceptibility of passing it on to the most vulnerable, we need to do a better job, and they're doing it on their own. Elderly, immune-compromised folks are starting to shelter in place. We'll do a better job of that. So the outcome, if we do this scenario, is we move to 14 weeks instead of 9 weeks to the peak, and we move the ICU capacity from 6 weeks to 11 weeks. When we back plan from that, and I have been in constant contact with our private sector hospitals, CEOs, I was on the phone today with the CEOs of Medtronic and 3M, and we're working with our private sector supply chain experts who are coming in. This thing you keep hearing on the news, governors are trying to compete against one another. When we go out to try and buy some of this, the federal government buys it, puts it in a stockpile, and then redistributes it. That, had that been done months ago, makes great sense. It's very frustrating now because it's shorting areas that we have supply chains ready to operate that are being pulled out because of that. So we're bringing in experts who know about supply chains from the private sector better than anyone else. And in that 11 weeks that we're asking you to shelter at home for 2 weeks, to continue to social distance, to continue to go about what we've basically been doing over the last week and a half, that will buy us enough time that, working with the Corps of Engineers, we will be able to transfer our arenas or our stadiums into hospitals. We may be able to use motel space to have stand up those rooms. We will be able to stockpile the personal protective equipment and get the ventilators into the system that raise that critical number of what hospital ICU capacity is, while keeping the number of infections low enough that when people go in and we're reaching peak capacity, somebody gets better and moves out and another person uses that ventilator. And we keep rotating through as this moves through. We will get closer then to better therapeutics, and that'll take us closer to a vaccine, so when it comes back again. here's the scenario as you see it moving. We move the numbers out quite significantly. The only thing we're able to flatten a little bit, and this is what we're trying to do because I believe at this point in time, our medical experts believe it and our private sector partners believe it. The only thing we're able to flatten is the ICU usage and its capacity. So we're still going to see the same numbers. You're still going to see by somewhere in there on day 150 or so, 2 million of us would have had this at one time or another. 85% recovered, 15% hospitalized, 5% in ICU. The thing that Minnesota is going to do is ensure that if you need an ICU, it's there. If you need the PPE to do the testing or the first responders that need to be there, that will be there. If you need a ventilator, here in Minnesota, 15% of the global supply of ventilators is made by Medtronic. They are at the forefront. The bulk of the N95 respirator masks are made by 3M, Honeywell, and others. A lot of you listening today in manufacturing have stepped up to say you'll help fill the void. So the severe impact is going to be there. I recognize that, again, if we could change this last one, if we had, and we're asking for 2 weeks, and I'm asking for your patience, your cooperation, and your understanding that if I'm asking you to sacrifice, I'm asking businesses to sacrifice, we're doing everything we can on the back end to provide a safety net. The federal government's movement on the stimulus and stimulus three is going to be helpful. The Minnesota legislature is doing incredible bipartisan work to make sure that we're there to provide that safety net. I know how painful this is. But if we chose to shelter in place for 5 months, I think all of us understand what the implications would be. And all that would happen is, if we didn't do this surge on capacity, is we would move these lines to the right and still be in the same position. I don't believe that it's prudent to try and shelter in place till a vaccine is there. I don't believe that in the long run, the damage that's done to the economy allows us to have those resources necessary as we get smarter and get more information about who can be quarantined and how we can build up the production line. Once they start to stand up, ventilators will be being produced at a much higher rate. So what we're going to do is we're going to do smart mitigation. We're going to push back the peak time, and we're going to use this time wisely. We're using every minute today to step up the supply lines, that supply chain on PPEs, on testing, and again, so many people helping the Mayo Clinic's capacity to help. Others in Fairview and others who are stepping up are making a huge difference in this. We can get ahead of it, and that testing piece will be very important down the road a little further. And, of course, all the work that's being done on improving treatments and adding new ones. So today, here's what I'm asking you to do, Minnesota. And my pledge to you is to use the valuable time you're giving us to build the coalitions, public and private, to produce those ICU units, to produce the necessary PPE that keeps our neighbors safe and drops that number of fatalities significantly. We're going to limit movement outside the homes beyond essential needs, effective Friday, March 27th at 11:59 p.m. to Friday, April 10th. And I want to be clear, there is no magic around a two-week period. We have weighed out the variables here. We believe at this point in time, as of today, that buys us enough time. We may ask or need to see what's happening with production lines to be able to adjust that accordingly. But we also understand those of you out there who have taken great pains in your manufacturing facilities to do social distancing, who have done great pains to pay your workers and pay their health care. We owe it to you to have this as compressed as we possibly can, to use the time wisely and allow us to move on. We're going to continue with the closure of bars and restaurants and other public accommodations. That was from the earlier executive order. That will extend to May 1st at 5 p.m. And we're authorizing the Commissioner of Education to implement our distant learning plan that is ready to start on Monday, the 30th. Continue that till May 4th. So some of the things you're going to be asking, there are a million questions here. We're thinking about all of the things you're asking. And again, it all matters. I spent time this morning with Archbishop Hebda and the Catholic bishops, understanding that there is a health component. There is a mental health component. There is a economic component of this, there's a social component, and there's a spiritual component about understanding as life goes on, how do we continue to address all of those needs for Minnesota? So we're trying to think of ways to make sure that we're doing the best science on social distancing, but allowing you to live a life that allows those things to get done. So I just am going to hit on a few. This isn't anything. You're still able to, of course, if you need to go to the doctor, safety things you need to do, of course you need to do that. Outdoor activities, be smart about this. Don't congregate together, but if you can get out and social distance and walk, that's good things. If you're running, please do so and stay away from one another, but those are things you can continue to do. You need to get out to the grocery stores. You need to get gasoline. Those things will still be permitted. We're not keeping you in your house. We're asking you. We're asking you because it's going to take cooperation and collaboration. Stay home. Stay home and do these things. Essential and interstate travel, when those situations come up, care of others, displacement, relocation. This is by all means not an exhaustive list, but it starts to give you some ideas. This does not mean you don't step out of your house. This does not mean that you can't do some of the things that keep life functioning on, but it does mean that we're getting more restrictive to get us to that 80%, which bends that curve to the right. And, of course, workers who provide essential services. We use this, and the way they figure this is the cybersecurity and infrastructure. When we've gone through these things, whether it's a man-made disaster, whether it's an act of nature, or in this case now where it's a global pandemic, things that are deemed as critical infrastructure, healthcare, law enforcement, childcare, food and agriculture. Many of you out there are listening how you get added. And I want to be clear, if you are not on this list, that does not mean that the economic activity you provide, if you are a shop owner providing retail sales, you are a part of the fabric of this state and absolutely important. It's just that at this point in time, we're trying to reduce those activities the best that we can to keep things functioning. So your heat stays on.
All right, so we're going to jump out of the press conference from Governor Tim Walz. We will update you with any more major announcements from that conference. But, of course, the big takeaway, though, is that we do have what's called a stay-at-home order that will go into effect on March 27th, that is this coming Friday, and that will be in effect for 2 weeks until April 10th. As Governor Walz was saying, basically it's too late to flatten the curve. What they're trying to do is, well, delay the peak that we're eventually going to have so we can buy our hospitals some extra time to have those ICU units and also ventilators. So that's the gist of kind of what's been happening with this stay-at-home order. As you heard Governor Walz talking about, pretty much only if you're an essential business are you allowed to go into work. But as he said, you can still go to the grocery store, you can still go to the doctor, among other things, and you can also go outside to exercise. So that stay-at-home order is going to be in effect on Friday, and that will take place through April 10th. So, yeah, Erica, we were kind of expecting this for a while, and it sounds like that's unfortunate news that we're not going to be able to flatten the curve. But I suppose if we could at least buy the hospitals anytime, that's certainly a good thing. But we got some things to get used to here at the station now with this stay-at-home order that's going to be in effect. Any thoughts on your end? Any reaction?
Well, I'm bummed I'm going to have to cancel my spin-the-bottle parties.
like to lighten the mood a little bit, the spin-the-bottle parties, yeah. You were planning on that anyways, weren't you, just before you had this stay-at-home order. I love it. Hey, we're at 952-946-6205. We'll have open phone lines for the final segment of the show, but otherwise, we have a very busy show ahead today, as coming up next, we are going to play part of a conversation I recorded this morning with Aaron Clems with the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, talking about this recent ruling against PolyMet in the state Court of Appeals. That's coming up next here on AM 950. Has quite the checkered history with environmental regulations and also labor rights. So that'll be coming up in part two tomorrow. Just our show is so jam-packed and busy, I'm not able to quite squeeze in all of that interview with Aaron Clems. And then we got Eric Nelson on the other side of the glass, who's got like 100 different things going on at once right now, doing yeoman's work in there.
I love it.
Yeah, you're keeping it under control, so definitely appreciate that. All right, coming up next, we are going to be doing something with some frequency during my show, FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. we're going to be playing a segment called We're Still Open, where we'll be talking with some different businesses that are remaining open, at least as much as they can. So coming up next, we'll be speaking with Peter Solak of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Stay tuned for that.
Moe's Tax Service on Ford Parkway in St. Paul has been preparing tax returns since 1971. They're one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the country with a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts. Tax laws and forms are always changing, and you need someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Visit www.moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S-Tax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026. Moe's Tax Service. They work for you. Not the IRS.
You can't go through a day without hearing about healthcare reform. St. Paul Corner Drug is here to help you navigate the ever-changing healthcare landscape. We are your advocate in getting much-needed prescription medication covered under your insurance plan. Need to choose a different plan? There is no reason to feel like you are drowning in the system. St. Paul Corner Drug can make simple work out of finding you a plan that best suits your needs. You can rest assured at St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. We're trying for as much normalcy as possible, so this week's show has me sharing about Catherine Hamlin, who created a hospital in Ethiopia to treat women with childbirth injuries. I'll share about a cop who reached out to a homeless woman. And in my C block, I'll talk about paying it forward. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Rudy Luther Toyota is caught up in the coronavirus just like the rest of us, but they also understand many people still need their vehicle running smoothly. Rudy Luther Toyota has their service department open for business, but don't worry, they have the social distancing requirement down. They're working with a reduced staff who are constantly sanitizing and cleaning all touch points as they go. Feel free to use the outside vehicle drop-off, and you can pay remotely to limit exposure. And of course, you get Rudy Luther's top-notch guaranteed service. We'll get through this together. For social distancing with a smile, it's Rudy Luther Toyota on 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today, expect a chance of showers with a high near 46. Tonight, the rain's likely to continue with a low around 29. Thursday, rainy once again with a high of 44 and a low of 34. Well, with the state having closed bars and restaurants for dining in, it's especially important that you support our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, featuring high-quality local foods, unique dishes, vegetarian options, and so much more. These restaurants are locally owned, so the money you spend stays local. Restaurants like the Great Wall, Cafe Latte, Park Tavern, and Hazel's Northeast. Find all the restaurants offering takeout at eatlocalminnesota.com.
And we're back on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Again, the breaking news is that we are going to have that stay-at-home order, which will begin on Friday, that is March 27th, and will be in effect for another 2 weeks until April 10th. We're working on getting a hold of Peter Solak of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Sounds like we may have to postpone things with him. So, Eric, as I was talking about, who's doing a yeoman's job in there, he literally has like 50 different things that he's trying to do at once right now.
And actually, we do have him. I'm just going to have to call him back on a different number.
Gotcha. Okay, so hopefully we'll get to Peter in just a few minutes here. Again, he's the owner of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And what we're going to be doing during the next few shows are talking about some different advertisers on AM 950, because that's what's going to allow us to stay on the airwaves amid this economic downturn that we're going to experience from COVID-19. Now, of course, with that stay-at-home order, that is going to throw a pretty big audible at a number of different businesses, but some of them are going to be remaining open, at least through the fact that you can interact with them online, including Peter Solak over at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, where they will have some online ordering available, and you could even communicate with them through text message, or it sounds like through phone calls as well. So we'll be hopefully getting with him in just a few minutes. Actually, it looks like we have Peter on the phone lines right now. Peter Solak, Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. Glad to have you with us.
Yeah, hello, Brett. Glad to be here.
Yeah, certainly a very busy news day with that stay-at-home order, so appreciate you taking some time today. How have things been going for you personally over there at Woodland Stoves? Have you guys been managing all right?
Yeah, we're all healthy, and we're really limiting our store hours, actually, now having to close our store hours. Mm-hmm. But we're still here on the telephone and on the of course on our website and by email. we'll be glad to carry on. Many of our customers need small things. We'll try to accommodate that. Mm-hmm. And some people are looking for bigger projects, and we're glad to communicate online. We'll learn how to do things newly now.
Absolutely. So before we dive into some of those specifics, tell us the story about Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. How did you guys get started, and why should people choose you for their different fireplace needs?
Well, we've been in business since 1977. Actually, I founded the store in 1977, really in reaction to the oil shortage and great big move to wood heating. And we still do quite a bit of wood heating, although we do a lot of gas heating as well. And now we're moving into outdoor products and cooking cooking outside. So we enjoy being part of the community here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've always found this, just sitting by a fireplace, no matter the season, whether that's an indoor or an outdoor fireplace, it's just overall has a very calming feel, at least to me. And I'm sure you guys kind of experienced that too, where fire does have that emotional response that people can get sometimes when they're sitting by it.
Well, it's pretty deep-rooted in human experience. And in fact, it's one of the few things human animals do that non-human animals don't do. So it's pretty deep in our DNA. And boy, you just think of all the way fire has changed. Well, it's embedded in our culture, in our science, our metallurgy. Everything is embedded in fire. So it's a really soothing thing, and it makes winter in Minnesota a lot more fun.
Yeah, or even if you're talking about an outdoor fireplace during the summer, or especially the fall, just sitting out there roasting marshmallows, or even just sitting out by a fire is incredibly relaxing. And you guys have lots of different options, too, where I believe you also have some indoor fireplaces or indoor fire units where you can even use those to cook pizza or other things. And, boy, nothing's better than having a wood-fired pizza.
Well, that's part of it. It's, you know, I think often a fire warm, but cooking is just as much of the human fire experience as warming ourselves with a fire. And, you know, we have some products. I've been doing this for a long time. We have some products where you can both heat your house and cook, and I feel like a really clever boy when I can double task with one fire.
Well, you even brought a smile to Eric's face right there. Man, I love that. If you can cook and warm your house at the same time, that is an absolute win-win. So talk about some adaptations you guys are going to be making now over the next few weeks, because obviously, and especially with this stay-at-home order, people aren't going to be able to physically come to your store, but there's still lots of different ways they can interact with you online and make some plans for hopefully when this order is lifted and when things get back to normal, they can go back and make some different changes to their homes in terms of installing a fireplace. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, we have a lot of people who are in mid-project right now, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, we're going to have to suspend a lot of that installation. And I think a lot of people's building and remodeling plans are going to be interrupted. And then, of course, there's what are we going to do when we're sitting at home after we've read a couple of good books and watched all the TV we want to watch? How can we plan to make our houses better? And we're here. Our website is a nice gallery, and hopefully a way to get a portal into some of our information. But I encourage people to contact us about fireplace questions and about wood cooking questions.
Mm-hmm. And I like this feature you guys are going to have as well, where people can take photos of their home or their outdoor patio area, and you guys can make some recommendations on where maybe it would be a good idea to install a fireplace. So you can even virtually kind of have a tour of your house, and then the experts over there that work with you, Peter, can help make some recommendations on how a project can proceed going forward.
Yeah, we've been doing that a long time with people bringing in pictures on their cell phones or emailing us pictures. It really helps. Because we here in the Twin Cities, we have a lot of older and newer homes, and we've had a lot of experience in both. Just seeing a picture, a picture says a thousand words. Just seeing a picture, we can make suggestions and identify problems or challenges we might run into. So the new technology is really helping us. I think it's going to help all of us here, all of us humans in this time to connect. It's a real challenge. I'm starting to miss just the fun of gathering together with other people, and electronically is a good way to keep us alive.
Absolutely. So before we have to wrap things up here, Peter, any final thoughts on what your guys' plans are during this coronavirus crisis and maybe even a little bit beyond what you guys are looking at doing there over at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces?
Well, I think we, like everybody in the community, are a little bit stressed by the whole uncertainty of it all, and we're just trying to stay on an even keel and stay with what we do traditionally, and that's listen and answer questions.
Absolutely. Hey, we've been speaking with Peter Solak. He is with Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, a longtime advertiser here at AM 950, as this is the first of many segments we'll hopefully be doing called We're Still Open, talking with different businesses as they make their way through this COVID-19 crisis. And highly recommend you check out Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces because, yeah, there's nothing better than sitting by a fire. Absolutely love doing that, no matter the season, whether it's winter, spring, fall, or even sometimes on those cool summer nights. It's even fun to do that. So, hey, Peter, really appreciate the time, and give us that website one more time and phone number.
Our website is woodlandstoves.com. Our email is info@woodlandstoves.com, and our phone is 612-338-6606.
All right, Peter, appreciate the time again today, and best of luck with you guys going forward as we all try to make our way through this kind of unknown crisis that we're going through.
Well, thanks so much, and everybody stay healthy.
Absolutely. Hey, that's again Peter Solak with Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We'll take a break. Come on back. We have open phone lines, and we'll go through some other news stories related to COVID-19 and politics in general. So stay tuned. You're listening to FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
When you need legal assistance, let the Minnesota Lawyer and Referral Information Service help you find the right attorney. It's a new and enhanced program of the Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations. They have professional, experienced referral counselors who can connect you to vetted attorneys practicing in employment, real estate, wills, taxes, and much more. Take the stress out of finding a lawyer. Call 612-752-6699 or go to mnlawyerreferral.org. The right call for the right lawyer.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Back on the final segment of FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. So we do have that, again, stay-at-home order taking place, begins on Friday, and then will be in effect until April 10th. As Governor Walz said during his press conference earlier this hour, It's essentially too late to try to flatten the curve in Minnesota. What we're trying to do is basically buy some time before we get a peak in cases, which is expected later in April. And by buying this time, it could save some lives with the fact that we can expand our hospitals, have more ICU beds, or even order some more ventilators. So kind of depressing news with the fact that, yes, we are too late to the table in terms of flattening that curve, but at least through this stay-at-home order, we can push the peak out. Now, in terms of the statistics behind that and how that works, it's a little bit beyond my comprehension in terms of why we're not able to flatten the curve. There's probably bigger experts than me that can explain why that's happening. But let's take a dive into what a stay-at-home order really means. So if you're what's called an essential service, your business can remain open. And this would be for like grocery stores or hospitals or even us who technically work in media. Eric, we're essential. Did you know that?
Oh, I know. I have a signed sheet that says so.
And that is very official. So we are essential employees. That means we are still going to continue to broadcast here on AM 950. Although there's a chance we might be making some adjustments during this stay-at-home order, including Matt and I maybe even doing some broadcasts remotely. In fact, Matt and I were testing with that earlier this week, so we are prepared to at least try to have minimal staff here at the station since we certainly want to do our best with social distancing. I never liked the term social distancing, by the way. It's physical distancing. Social distancing kind of gives off a different vibe. Like,
don't become friends with people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, really what it is physical distancing. And I think that would have a much bigger impact if we were to use that term rather than social distancing. You have what's going on in Italy right now. This is just coming through where there's a number of Italian mayors that are raging at citizens for flouting the lockdown order, including I think there was one in a small town in Italy who said he was going to use a flamethrower on everyone that tried to leave their home, which I'm sure he was being facetious with that example, but that's kind of at the point where they are right now in Italy, where you need to do something to make sure you stay at home. I guess the good news there is that they haven't flattened the curve completely, but the number of new cases that they're picking up each day has gone down at least a little bit, so maybe a little bit of good news coming out of there. But yeah, that's certainly an extreme measure to say that you're going to use a flamethrower on anyone that leaves your house. But he's illustrating a point by making that. So going back to shelter at home, what does that mean here for Minnesota? As we're talking about, yeah, essential businesses can stay open and still allow employees to, well, be at their employer. What's also included as an essential business are restaurants as well. As far as I can tell, the restrictions on restaurants largely won't change. You certainly won't be able to dine in at a restaurant, but you will be able to still do your carryout and also your curbside pickup at a number of restaurants, and highly encourage you to do that, including at our many Eat Local restaurants. The ones that we know are doing curbside pickup include Cafe Latte, also Hazel's Northeast, which if you're looking for a breakfast, highly recommend that. Some of the best pancakes I've ever had over there at Hazel's Northeast. Nightingale is doing takeout orders, as well as the Great Wall Restaurant. Park Tavern has takeout available, so go to am950radio.com or eatlocalminnesota.com to see the restaurants that do have takeout available. But you will still be able to do takeout orders amid this stay-at-home order, which will go into effect on Friday. Some of the other types of businesses that will remain open, liquor stores. You don't need to go make a panic run to the liquor store. Those will remain open even during this stay-at-home order. What else can we talk about? Can you go outside during a stay-at-home order? The answer is yes. You just need to practice social distancing. So if you're going for a walk or maybe you're taking the dog out to get some exercise, you can certainly do that, but just make sure you're staying at least 6 feet apart from everybody. And in my case, I'm going to be doing lots of biking. I think biking is a good idea because it would be hard not to do social distancing if you're on a bike. I don't think that would be a good idea to be
you're
riding
not
closer.
Ride your recumbent tandem bike?
Yeah. And it wouldn't be a good idea to try to ride within 6 feet of someone anyways. That kind of sounds like a recipe for disaster. But yes, you're allowed to go out and use your bike. I'll probably do that myself. But those are some of the restrictions we'll have, and freedom, so you can still go outside. And largely what Governor Walz was saying, he's asking people to stay at home. It doesn't sound like we're going to have police stopping people on the roads or National Guard pulling people over and saying, you have to go home, and issuing citations or sending people to jail. California used a similar measure, too, where mostly when police interact with large groups or people that they think shouldn't be outside, they usually just use that as an opportunity to, well, tell people to go inside. They're not issuing actual citations or fining people or sending them to jail. That's at least what California's done. And it sounds like Minnesota is going to take the same approach. That doesn't mean disobey the order, though. Just they're encouraging you to stay inside, and that's largely what this order means. Hey, we got a phone call right now from Gary in Minneapolis who wants to talk about COVID-19. Our friend Gary.
First, I was going to say, Brett, you know,
Gary's jumping right into
it. A week ago, I took a drive down to Lake Gomez and Mija Falls. It was very calming. Mm-hmm. I think you still do that, can't you? And
yeah, it depends on if those.
South Minneapolis.
Yeah, it depends on if those specific parks are still going to remain open. I would recommend looking any way you can to see.
Well, I stayed in the car.
Oh, you stayed in the car. Yeah, you should be. Ooh, that's a little bit more of a gray area. Like I said, you technically won't get arrested probably, but I don't think that is technically allowed. But I would just recommend going.
What I was going to bring up before, what I really called about was, you know, if they're saying that end of April is going to peak anyway. Mm-hmm. Maybe not quite as bad, but that must mean you don't know in 2 weeks. And I remember they said there's a lot of people that have it we don't know about because they're testing. So they were told us we'd know in 2 weeks, mostly 2 to 14 days, if we have symptoms. But there must be a lot of us that don't have symptoms longer than that because they say a lot of people are infected they don't know about. And still people are getting infected, but there must be a lot lower rate. So I can't understand why the peak would still be as bad, can you?
Yeah, we'll try to get an expert on the show. When you try to dive into the statistics of everything, and I appreciate the phone call there, Gary, it does get complicated because I'm still trying to follow. I don't know if you've maybe picked up in there how it works by through having this stay-at-home order. It doesn't flatten the curve, but essentially delays the peak that we have. I'm still not quite following how that works.
Yeah, it seems like it would flatten the curve to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, people are still susceptible to it. People are still contagious.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the big problem with this, we talked about this yesterday, is that upwards of about 15% of people who end up getting this thing will never show any symptoms. And that's what I think the big problem with this is that even if you're not showing any symptoms, you still have the ability to infect other people. So that's certainly a major concern and why I think the best way to get rid of this thing is, granted, the United States is probably too big of a country at this point to implement this, but to have universal testing. We talked about yesterday how that town in Italy of about 3,000 people, granted a very small sample size, and, well, comparing 3,000 versus 350 million in the United States, they tested everyone in that town, regardless of whether they had symptoms or not, and within about 2 weeks, they had pretty much eradicated the coronavirus from that town.
Well, at least New York City, like, that's blowing up, and it's going to be a disaster.
Exactly, yeah. It's going to be really sad to see what happens because they haven't come anywhere near flattening their curve. In fact, it's actually getting steeper as time goes on.
I think it's on a rate where it's like doubling in cases per day.
Is it at that point? I thought de Blasio said it was like, yeah, doubling once every 2 or 3 days. But if it's at that point where it's doing it every single day, yeah, that is certainly very scary. And when we hear about people saying, oh, well, we should put travel restrictions on New York in terms of flying. Well, guess what? People can still get in their cars and drive around. There's no good solution to that. I mean, locking down the entire area and closing it off, a la Escape from New York, that movie. I don't know if that's quite the solution, but yeah, we're moving into a new era, most certainly. Again, stay-at-home order taking place March 27th through April 10th. Matt McNeil is going to have more on that. He's up next here on AM 950.